So if you brought your Bible, turn to Ezekiel chapter 38. And we've been talking here before this war broke out, telling you what was coming, who was going to be who was going to be on whose side and why. And this is not news to us. It's just, okay, here it is. Because we've been knowing since Daniel wrote it 600 years before Christ was born. He told us exactly who was going to be where, what, and why. He named the statue and the vision he saw from Babylon to Medo-Persia to Greece to the Roman Empire and the legs of iron, the divided Roman Empire, and it never went away. The physical part of the Roman Empire did go away, but the spiritual part of the Roman Empire did not. The European Common Market, if you'll check their flag, you will see the countries represented by it. It's the old Roman Empire. It's just a coming together of the Roman Empire, just like Daniel said would happen. And you will find as you go, if you haven't already, there are no mistakes in God's Word. That's why we call it God's Word. And all we see, we don't know the times or the seasons. We just know when we see things happening that we've seen written and predicted that I'd keep my bags packed because it's about time to go home. And we find here in the 38th chapter, which we've read before, this is called the Battle of Gog and Magog. Gog is the prince, Magog is his land, and if you will go through this, chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, that's Moscow and Tobolsk, you will find out that it was predicted who would be with who before any of this started. And this battle is going to take place. It's not the Battle of Armageddon. The Battle of Armageddon is at the end of the tribulation period when all these people gather together and come against the Lord Jesus Christ. This is just the startup. Now, whether this is the one that will lead to Gog coming down, Russia coming down, with the Arabs that it's predicted they would be with, because he is Ethiopia, that's the top of Africa, and Libya. All these are Arab nations, and the other ones are named. The Persia, that's Iran and Iraq, that's that area. They're named here. Turkey's named here, and another name it used to go by. And all of these nations were prophesied. Now, please understand this, 600 years before the birth of Christ. And he told who they were and where they were and how they would align with each other and how they would come down on a little place called Israel that didn't even exist at the time. There was no Israel in 1948, was there? And here Daniel is prophesying who, what, when, where, and why. And we still have people standing in pulpits this morning talking about Jacob's well. It's a little late to be discussing Jacob's well. It's time to discuss, well, we've had it. We better do something. And to you who are unsaved and know nothing about the Bible, you could be very nervous about what's taking place in the world. I don't like it, and it may develop into a full-fledged thing worldwide. I don't know. I don't look forward to that. But I do know before this battle of Gog and Magog gets underway, or right at the time it does, that the scriptures tell me the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come for his church. And all through the Bible, the second coming of Christ is a theme, and it's in there hundreds of times. I was studying last night, getting prepared best I could to speak with you, and I was thinking, I said, we have comforting words from the mouth of the Lord Jesus himself, and I said, boy, there are some comforting words. In 1 Thessalonians, it tells us we'll be caught up to meet him in the air and to comfort one another with these words, and goes on. But there's others in the Bible. And when we know that, we don't sit in fear here today saying a war may break out and it may be us who see missiles coming soon. We don't have to worry about that. The only thing I worry about that is I have a lot of friends and a lot of people who haven't heard the gospel clearly enough to make a decision for Christ, and they keep putting it off. And maybe some of you are here today. But understand, Gog and is the prince of Meshach. He is Rosh, that's called. Meshach is Rosh, that's Russia. And the Lord is going to bring them down upon Israel. Verse 4 said, I'll turn thee back and put hooks into your jaws. I'll bring thee forth and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor. even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, which is Iran and Iraq, Cush and Put, Gomer, Turkey, Torgama of the north quarters and its hordes, that's the Arabs, and many peoples with thee. This is a consolidation of everybody in the world who hates Judaism and Jews and want to wipe them from the face of the earth. Does it not strike you strange that they're the only ones that aren't recognized on any voting privileges in the United Nations? Does it not strike you strange that their soldiers were captured, a sovereign nation was trespassed against? And now they're having to pay for that, and it may ignite a world war. And the news reports, well, it was only two soldiers. Let me ask you a question. Had you been one of them, would you be so calm about the incident? Had that been your son, would you be saying, well, it's just two, let's don't get that upset? And yet nations of the world, you see, and see, I saw this morning, if you watch the news, you'll see it tonight, steady coming to the aid of Lebanon, saying, why are the Jews attacking these friendly people? Well, the only reason, for starters, is the 100 missiles you sent into there last week, killing innocent women and children, when you were given land on the promise that you would not do that. A promise from an Arab. Search for that as you will search for a beautiful camel while you're in his land. There is no such thing. Sand is thicker than water. The sand people will stick together. I don't care what kind of armistice and diplomacy and contracts you sign with them. They're hell-bent on wiping Israel from the face of the earth and then trying it on us. I saw a good black preacher down in South Miami on TV. You may have seen the incident. He's got a church going in a rather poor area, doing a wonderful work for the Lord, God bless him. And they're trying to build a mosque down the street. And he got his people out protesting, said, we don't want that. And they interviewed him and asked why. He said, because you don't understand what they're really doing. This has nothing to do with worship. This has nothing to do with church. This is a substation for a recruiting of young terrorists. He was right. Make no mistake about it. This book teaches you that there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. That Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ, in the New Testament, who is Jehovah of the old, who manifested himself so we could know what God looked like. There is one God, and that's him. If you serve or represent any other God, you are out of luck because you don't have a God. And it's time for the preachers in this country to stand up for the God they say they represent and quit tippy-toeing through the tulips with people who worship anything from a fool to a pineapple. Verse 9 tells what's going to happen. It said, thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy hordes and many peoples with thee. We're talking to a friend about the situation last night, and we were saying is these people are like soldier ants. And they have the people surrounding Israel right now, six countries, that can invade Israel on foot with sticks and take it over numerically. Right now, they're trying to have permission to go back from a place they left because they wanted to invade it and got whipped in 6 days. Two reasons. The Jews are God's people and they had those tanks rented. 6 days they whipped six countries. Who helped them? It got down to the point in that war where the Jews were left with one tank commander of that one tank got in touch with one of the guys in the other tank and said, "What in the world were you thinking? You had us beat. You had us surrounded. There was one. There was me. That was it. Why didn't you just unload on us?" He said, "Well, I'll tell you. We were going to do that. You saw we had you surrounded." He said, "Yeah." He said, "I sent somebody over the hill because I said to my people, this is too good to be true. This has got to be a trick. And they want to draw us into this crossroads, and they're going to pop up over that hill and unload on us. I'm smarter than that. Go down there and see what's happening over the hill." So a scouting party went out and scouted it and didn't even get to the top of the hill before they turned tail and ran back to him and said, "Do not attack that tank." He said, "Why?" He said, "We have heard so many weapons of war on the other side of that hill. This is a trap. And if we go down there, we're dead. Go home." And they turned and went home. And the commander of the Jewish tank smiled and said, "Well, y'all didn't look to see what we had?" He said, "No, we could hear it." He said, "Well, you're going to be sad to know we didn't have anything over there. I don't know what you heard." What he heard was the noise presented by the Lord God Almighty. You see, we serve a supernatural God. In fact, if he is God, he can't be natural, can he? He's got to be supernatural. There's no choice in the matter. We serve a miracle-working God. I'm not talking about the small miracles. He does those on the side, little small miracles. I'm talking about the biggies. And when he says, "I'll put hooks in the mouth of Israel's enemies and draw them down on Israel," it's for a reason. He's drawing them down into a trap. He's going to wipe them out on the hills of Israel. Israel will not be beaten into the sea. They will not be all wiped out. I don't care who comes against them with what weapons and how many. It's not going to happen. It's Goliath and the sling all over high tech. Ain't gonna happen. Well, how you know? The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. Stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Learned it when I was 5. Somebody asked me, said, "Beaver, what does, like Bible, what does B-I-B-L-E really stand for?" I said, "It stands for basic instructions before leaving earth. You better read it." So we hear, and here it tells that we're going to have diplomacy. It tells about the big meeting at the UN right here. "And thou shalt say, I'll go up to the land of unwalled villages. I'll go to those who are at rest, who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited." Do you understand that before 1948, when Israel came to be a state, there wasn't anything over there worth having? Mark Twain went over there and said, "It's the most god-awful place I've been in my life. We'd travel miles and not see a living thing." He said, "I don't mean people. You wouldn't see a living thing. You ride down by the Dead Sea and the stench is so great from the minerals in that sea," which is a spoil, by the way. There's more riches in the minerals in the Dead Sea than there are in 6 European nations combined. "But birds wouldn't fly over it." Now, you got to have you something to keep birds from flying over it. "Animals don't walk beside it. There's no fish in it to catch. The water you cannot drink. It's just there." Then the Jews took it over in 1948. Today, 100 yards from the Dead Sea are orange groves, the best oranges in the world, shipped all over Europe, especially in non-orange growing season when they can't get others. Nothing like it. The Bible said that the desert will blossom like a rose. There was a book I'd see my mother read all the time. It was a devotional book with different little daily devotions, and many of you older folks will recognize the name of it. Streams in the Desert was the name of the book. I can see you reading out of it right now. I can hear talking about, honey, the desert one day will blossom like a rose, and I don't care. I'm going to see if I can play basketball. I can go what happened to the desert. Sounded foolish to me anyhow. Who wants to have a rose in the desert anyhow? Who would plant it, care for it, and who cares if it's there? Nobody lives there. What's the point? Have you seen the real Israel on TV? No, you've seen some mud huts in the Dome of the Rock, and that's it for you. Get a shot of downtown. They got more technology and scientific minds working in that country than the law allows. So far advanced, it's a joke. The president of Iran. Don't think this man is a fool. He's just led by the devil. That man has a PhD. He's not crazy. He's acting crazy, going in the wrong direction, but he's not. They know what they're doing. And these people are backing Lebanon. We know this. This isn't political, by the way. I'm not Democrat or Republican. I'm a Christocrat, okay? I'm looking for the day when the Lord Jesus Christ sits on his throne and rules all nations. No vote needed. Thank you. He's already been selected. And we find here, these people, names them, verse 13, there they are. Sheba, Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish, Spain, with all its young lions, we come out of that group with England, shall say unto thee, art you come to take a spoil? That's the UN meeting, okay? Diplomacy is a big word now, and it's good to talk things over. You know, we used to just bomb you, and that was the end of it, and we figured out there's got to be a better way. So we're trying to talk and bomb you later now. But make no mistake, we're going to bomb you. Reminds me of a joke. Any of y'all remember Flip Wilson? Yeah, I loved old Flip. He's a funny little dude. Saw him in Chicago live. I said, got to go see Flip. And went to see him sat on the front row. He looked 12 years old. He's the cutest little fella. And he said, yeah, said, I was in New York last month. Said, I was walking through the park. Said, a guy jumps out from the bushes with a baseball bat. Said, this is a hold up. He said, I can't figure this guy in too bright anyway, holding people up with a baseball bat. I believe I can talk him out of this. He said, wait, brother, you don't need to hold me up. Said, there'll be some rich white folks coming down the line. They got a lot of money. Get back in that bush. One of them shows up, jump out and get him. Make you some real money. I ain't got no money. No use hitting me with a ball bat. And the guy said, well, that's a pretty good idea. Let me talk to my partner. So he jumps back in the bush to have a meeting with his partner. They talk it over, and he jumps up, and Flip said, well, how'd it go? He said, he agreed. He agreed. I'm not going to hold you up. And so Flip smiled, said, boy, that's good news. And the guy said, but I'm still going to hit you with the baseball bat. I mean, what you going to do? What you going to do? And we'll be glad to talk to Ping Pong over there in Korea. And we'll be glad to talk to the Iranian who's just going to do a lot of talking. I always love it when they get in the street with about, 100,000 people with flags and guns and bring back the old German goose step. You see them doing that. Unbeknownst to them, one daisy cutter would clear the square. And these people are wanting to talk and will talk, but if they do not understand, then America and Israel, those who will join us, are going to have to unload. And you don't want to be part of that. Because eventually nobody wins that. That's why we're trying so hard not to let it happen. Pong and the gang can't fathom the wiping out of a country. They can't imagine that. It's not within their capacity to understand what a nuclear war is. The Jews understand. Do you know today there are 13,000 missiles aimed at Jerusalem. You can't detect them all anymore. You can't shoot them down anymore. You remember the last attack, and they shot some Scud missiles down, and they led us to believe they got them all. Don't you remember that? No, they didn't. Many of them got through. Do you know how many nuclear ones have to get through? And soon as that happens, whether they're alive or dead, they'll use a dead hand, and the world is gone. Well, why aren't you scared? Because before that happens, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am going to come and take my church out of there. You have not been appointed to wrath. The tribulation period of 7 years is called the wrath of God. That's what it is. It's God's wrath unloaded in judgment. And you say, well, I thought God was kind and nice and merciful, and you know, I've seen the picture where he just got back from the beauty shop and had his hair done, that thing, and he doesn't look like he's somebody who would hurt somebody. Can you read it all? He didn't wipe Sodom and Gomorrah from the face of the earth because he didn't like alternative lifestyles. He did it because people wouldn't quit their sin. And to keep the race from being extinct, he had to drop it, wipe them out. That's not bad. That's good. Are you sorry for the children? Absolutely. Are you sorry for those who lived there who took no part in that? Absolutely. But when you take a shot from your doctor this week for penicillin, it'll kill all the germs. That's what it's for. It better. And nobody wants a war. Who's gleeful about a war? I don't want the war going on in the Congo where the guys in six mud huts are mad at the guys in six straw huts that you see on the History Channel. Still doing it. Still cutting each other's heads off and shrinking them. How sad. But to them, it's a war. Who would want that? Who would want to serve a God that sets out to really make that an honor? It's not an honor. God doesn't like war. But he said, if you do not serve me, if you're disobedient to me, all hell's going to break loose and I'm the one that's going to bring it. And people can't get that together with the picture in their wallet with Jesus just home from the beauty shop. You see, when we read slowly the wrath of God, we read it too slowly. We don't understand the meaning of those words, and we take so much for granted. Turn to Revelation 15. And we've listened to this nonsensical religion so long from preachers who know not the Scriptures, love not God, speaking to people with powdered posteriors on plush pews, and everybody nods the head and says amen and goes to eat dinner and doesn't worry about anything in this book till the next week. That's the condition of American Christianity, whether you like it or not. They don't understand when a nation turns itself against God, it puts itself under the wrath of God. Now, before the chapter 15, if you read several chapters back, it will be bold some judgments that are going to come, and they enough to shake your soul. But these are the seven that are going to come at the last half of the tribulation period, and we have ministers who otherwise have good sense, who say, well, the book of Revelation is full of symbols. The stop sign at the end of the street's a symbol, idiot. It means another car can kill you. Find out what the symbol means. No symbol in Scripture. Scripture interprets Scripture. Why at the first of Revelation? You may have never read that. Verse 3, chapter 1. Listen now. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it. Anybody have any trouble with any of those big words? Why would God only use this book of Revelation to promise you a blessing if you read it and heeded it and not any of the other books? Must be special. Well, why would anybody with any sense tell you that you'll receive a blessing if you'll read and heed something that you can't possibly understand? That makes no sense. Giving a kid a combination lock and say the numbers are 4-2. He said, wait, there's four, there's two more numbers. He'll be there till he dies figuring out the other two numbers, where to go right, left, left, right, whatever. You can help him. So I'll give you a blessing if you say 4 left, 2 to the right, 1 to the right, 6 to the left. You'll be a blessing in there. It's $1 million for you. That's a blessing. Why? Because you heard it and understood it and acted on it. Very simple, isn't it? And the Jews have forsaken their Messiah. They missed him, bless their heart. And unfortunately, they had him nailed to a cross. Fortunately for me and you, because we'd still be lost. And God chose those people as his and set them apart for him. And though 80% of them are atheist or agnostic today, he said, my promise is made, my promise is good. Nobody will break it. And he will save a remnant of the Jews, and you can sleep safely tonight knowing you're not going to be part of the wrath of God that's going to be poured out during the tribulation period. Now, the first ones you read up to verse 15, those are the easy ones. Let me tell you about the seven bowl judgments. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as were a sea of glass mingled with fire in them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And we told you last week, Antichrist is coming. We've discussed the mark of the beast. We've discussed what this will do. We've discussed that it will lead to a one world government, which you see forming in the EU. And you see it forming one world church. They're known in the Bible as Mystery Babylon. The great harlot is the church. Real church will be gone. You see, he says, I see the good one standing up there. Go down to verse 7, and one of the four living creatures gave unto the seven angels seven golden bowls, may say vials in your Bible, full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever. Well, shouldn't we just take that for granted? If he's God, he's got to live forever and ever. God repeats things because he wants you to remember it. He is the living God, the creator of all things. And remember, he lives forever and ever, and it is to him you will have to face on the matter of whether you accepted his son as your savior or ridiculed him because you were so brilliant and laughed at the book I hold in my hand. I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the angels, go your way and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth. There fell a foul and painful sore upon men who had the mark of the beast and upon them who worshipped his image. This is during the tribulation period. People there have capitulated and gone and gotten the mark of the beast because they can't get a job, they can't buy groceries, can't do nothing because the beast is running things. We didn't know this when I was a little boy. My daddy preached it. He just couldn't tell you how. Now I preach it, and we'll be glad to tell you now how. The computer. When it first started, it wasn't that big a deal. It was just a metal filing cabinet. Didn't have to pull the papers out. Then the thing began to gain speed, and I heard on the radio yesterday, that Japan and somebody else are battling each other for a computer that will do 100 trillion calculations a second. Now, how in the world was this man going to keep up with everything going on in the world? That's how. And so this is going to be poured out foul and painful sore. Anybody who takes the mark of the beast will have this come upon him. A foul and painful sore in our language is a big boil. Y'all aren't too young to remember boils, are you? We don't have many today because of penicillin and the different vitamins and stuff we have in our foods. We don't have, don't see many boils much anymore. I mean a real hurting, pus-filled red around it. I'm going to cuss everybody today that touches it. Boil. Now, if you ever had one, you know what a boil is. And the touch of a sheet make you scream. I mean, this poor. The old folks used to say a boil is worth $1,000 to your body, just because of the poison it's going to suck out of your body. You do $1,000 worth of good. They were right. Imagine having them from head to toe. Head to toe. Nobody knowing what to do. No rest. In the midst of all this. All those who worship his image. Interesting thing with image. Image means just like. Jesus Christ is the image of God. That's how we can tell what God looks like. A little redheaded boy in Sunday school one time, scribbling on his paper, and teacher asked him, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm drawing a picture of God." She said, "Well, nobody knows what God looks like." He said, "They will when I'm finished." This is what God said. They want to know what I look like. I'll become a man and walk among them. That's why Jesus told Philip when Philip foolishly said, "Well, Lord, show us the Father. We see you doing the miracles. We hear you. We know who you are. We think, and things are going pretty good. Sounds like a good program. I want to be on that kingdom thing, you know. But show us the Father." I can hear Jesus now shaking his head. He was Jewish. Oy vey. "Philip, how long have I been with you?" "Well, it's been about 3 years now." "What have you seen me do?" "Heal the sick, make the blind see, raise the dead, feed people with a handful of bread and fish, walk on water, stop the storm, still the sea." He said, "And you still ask me to show you the Father?" You are looking at him when you see me, Jesus said. You have seen the Father. Hoo-wee. You have him as a teacher and a good moral leader and the nicest guy that ever lived. I'll have him as the Lord God, creator of heaven and earth. Second angel poured out his bowl on the sea. It became like the blood of a dead man, meaning rotten. And every living soul died in the sea. Now this sea behind me covers 3/5 of the earth. There's fish everywhere. Other animals in the sea. Billions times billions times billions, and they're all going to die. You don't really believe that. Did I just read it? Yeah. Find somebody from Sodom and Gomorrah and ask them, "Do you really believe he's going to do that?" Oh yeah. Ask Adam when you see him, "Did you really think he would put you out of that garden?" "Oh, well, I didn't really think he would." "Yeah. Did you go out?" "Yeah." Ask the people who gathered around and helped that crazy preacher Noah build that big boat in his driveway when it hadn't even rained lately. It had never rained before, by the way. If they really believed the flood was coming. Well, you know, we didn't know what a flood was, but, you know, it sounded bad, but no, we didn't really believe it was coming. That's why fools today say, well, I think this is symbolic. I don't think this was coming. You better read when Jesus got up from the dead and walked down the road of Emmaus with two of his disciples, meaning followers, and talked to them and asked them, what are you doing? And they said, are you the only one in town that don't know what's happened? So what do you mean? He said, well, they crucified the prophet Jesus. We thought he was going to free us. We thought he was the Messiah. We were all excited about this. And now he's dead, and he's been dead for 3 days, and we don't know what to do. And he didn't have a conference and call them in for a group hug. He said, fools, not to believe all the prophets have written. Be real careful when somebody asks you, do you really believe everything in the Bible? Because if you don't, Jesus Christ, the Lord God Almighty, has just called you a fool. Well, I didn't know it was that serious. I know. Everything in the sea, can you imagine how it's going to stink? Just the smell alone from everything in the sea dying, raising to the top. The disease that will be spread as the tide comes in twice a day, bringing them and putting them on the shores of the earth, and them riding. We can't imagine things like that, can we? We can't think that big. The third bowl, and the third angel poured out his bowl upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O God, who art and was and shall be, because you've judged that way. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they're worthy of drinking it. I love the hidden sense of humor of God. You see, through the ages, all of them who hate God have called for the blood of God's people. The Colosseum fed Christians to lions. The Caesars. Jesus wasn't the only one crucified for his faith. They have a road there that had 3,000 crosses on it one night with the bodies of Christians. They would hold feasts, which were orgies, that would last a week. And they would make the family come and sit behind them as they held their orgy and feast. And Daddy was on a cross, dipped in oil and lit for the lights. Better read your history book. Take the blood of Christians and those who love God has been the cry of the heathen forever. And it is today. I never thought I would live to see and got to thinking myself, I know the things of the Scripture are true, but surely when it says that those during the tribulation who stand for God and don't take the mark will be beheaded, that's just a way of saying they'll lose their life. No! I thought beheading is, I thought that left years ago, didn't you? Nobody in their right mind who has any sense of humanity would cut the head off another living person. We got a group of people who are anxious to put the sword to the back of your neck. We fight right now. Hey, let's build another building for them at the end of the street. You fool. They have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink. I love God's sense of humor here. He said, you want blood? Oh, it's blood that you want? I didn't know you wanted that much blood. I'm going to turn every stream and river to blood. You want blood? I'll give it to you. Drink this. I'll show you what blood is. You bloodthirsty, are you? Fine, I'll give you some. Have at it. Well, I didn't know God talked like that. He's louder.
forth bowl, and the fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God who hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. Now, we try to intersperse in different places, those of us who study these things, and try to see how this could come about, and could a natural thing happen this? And it could. This big hole we got in the sky, they claimed my underarm deodorant did it, you know, and it's letting radiation through in massive amounts that we didn't have before. You see, if you take that shield down, the earth is scorched with ultraviolet rays. You'll be a mole. You'll have to live underground. You can't live in this. That's why God put it up there, to protect you and I, because he loved us. If we're disobedient to them, he's going to remove this. It's already started, hasn't it? See it? See a touch of it? It's 100 yesterday here. And these people are going just, what's the worst sunburn you ever had? You ever had to stand in the shower all night because you had sunburn? I have. Red-headed people, we'll get some sunburn. We'll get red. I got burnt so bad one day, I couldn't believe it. I just stood under cold water all night. That ain't going to be anywhere near what happens here. Would you not think after the judgments that were before this that you can read when you go home, and after these three, and now we got this one, would you not think it would be time to hit your knees and say, God, I was wrong. You are right. It's me. Wouldn't you think it's time? Look what their reply is. And they repented not to give him glory. So he comes again. The fifth angel poured out his bowl upon the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain. That's darkness, it hurts. Wouldn't you think now they'd change and blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds? Well, you really think he could make it dark like that? Isn't that symbolic? Didn't you read what happened in Egypt? Four of these plagues are just repetition of what happened there. Why did he make it dark in Egypt? Do you know? Yes, I know. Because of all their gods, Ra was the chief one. Ra was the sun god. They worshiped the sun god, the god of light, yada, da, 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 do, da, do, da, do, da. He said, that's your favorite god, is it? That's your big boy? Watch this. And made it so dark you could not see your hand in front of your face. And it was so dark you could feel it, the Bible says. Except where the Jews were, and they weren't having any trouble. They were eating pizza and drinking Pepsis and having a good time. Everything was fine. He's already done it once. What do you mean, can he do it? You mean, can he do it again? Absolutely. But look at what men do. Repent not of their deeds. Sixth angel poured out his bowl upon the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up. Listen, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. What that's all about is the Antichrist is going to have a war on his hands over here. And China, with its 1,300,000,000 right now people, they just sitting and waiting. And when the Antichrist has set up his kingdom and this war is going on, the Bible says he gets bad news from the east. The Chinese are coming. The Orientals are coming. And the Euphrates River is going to dry up. And people say, well, that's one of the main rivers of the world. And you know how deep that thing and long that thing is. It's going to dry up. Listen, forget about God doing it. They've already got a dam over there now. They can push a button and stop the flow of the Euphrates, three-quarters of the water, today. and he is going to dry it up so these kings of the earth too can come to Israel, and all of them are going to catch it at Jerusalem. We got to go home. Seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air. Came a great voice from heaven saying, "It's done. It's over. Mystery Babylon will be destroyed," it said. Every island, he said, Babylon came in remembrance before God. The one world church, the commercial Babylon and the spiritual Babylon. "To give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away. And the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven. Every stone about the weight of a talent." That's 125 pounds. Hail. I saw 3-inch hail on TV the other day. Did you see that on the Weather Channel? And about the size of a golf ball. My brother called me and said they had had a hailstorm. And new car dealers were just bringing in the trucks and towing away brand new cars off the lot. Windshield and back windows and windows beat out and top. Can't sell them. No good. Gone. Millions of dollars. Gone from 3-inch hail. I'm talking about 125-pound hail. And people say, "Well, now surely, Brother Greenway, that would be a symbol." That was fine until we got the telescopes up where the stuff is, and there's chunks of ice as big as 2-story houses circling you every day. And when God decides to release them and they fall, they'll be about 125 pounds apiece when they hit here. Isn't God good? You say, "Well, you know, do we worry about this?" No, I ain't worried about it. I'm going home. Why? Because you remember when we sing Victory in Jesus. I love that song. My wife loves that song. Tabernacle Baptist Church, they'd get to singing Victory in Jesus. They'd sing it and sing it. Everybody'd stand up. One night they sang 30 choruses. I mean, hey, Uncle Johnny got up, him and that crew Whitehead. I can see him now. Begun to circle the church, walking, rubbing that head. Just got all cut up in himself. Didn't know what else to do. He'd just walk. And he'd get to me. I'd jump straight up and give him a hug. Because the Bible said to respect the hoary head. And we find out when we sing Victory in Jesus, we're glad it's going to be victory. But we don't really see the end of that thing. Look at verse 14 at chapter 17. "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them." I really like that because Jesus came as a baby. He came as the Lamb of God, harmless. He's coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Lamb ain't quiet anymore. But I love the ridicule here in the Scripture. "Well, won't y'all make war with the Lamb, see how you do?" See, a lamb can't hurt you. They aren't poisonous. They can't bite you. They aren't strong. They can't hurt you if they kick you. They can't butt you. A lamb is helpless. He can't do anything. And here God is saying, yeah, why don't y'all seeking blood, are you? Want wars, do you? Why don't you try your hand against the Lamb of God? See how you come out. And it says, "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." Jesus wins. Do you know him? Well, I thought I did, but do you know him? The book says to check yourself, to make real sure that you're in the faith. And most of the times when you preach and a crowd builds up, you're preaching to church members that belong somewhere else and visiting and that type thing, and you don't know who you got in front of you. You just do the best you can. And there's always some lost people here. And also, there's some people who think they are saved because they're a member of a church. Always here. Somebody told them, be good, act right, sign up down to church and visit every now and then, and
and you're cool. No. No.
You examine yourself as you sit here today and said, has there ever been a time in my life that I saw myself as a lost sinner, undone and headed to hell? And the condemnations that are going to fall during the tribulation, which I just briefly went over, are nothing compared to the judgment that's coming on people who are going to hell. Please understand that. This is kid's play. You look at yourself and say, has there ever been a time when it was just me and God? And I said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I'm lost and I have no way. And I want to repent. I want to be on your side. I want to be in your family. I want to be your child and I want you to forgive me of my sin. I want the blood of Calvary to count for me. And I'm calling on you today to forgive me. Let me walk with you and then teach me how to keep walking, because I'm going to walk with you forever. If you've never done that, you do that today. We don't have people come to the front. We don't have any cards to sign because my business has just concluded. Your business is with God Almighty. And if you don't know Him, did not the TV news tell you if it was getting late, even before I did? Don't leave here today without Him. Those on the radio, don't leave without Him. And the gentleman who's 95 laying on your deathbed with cancer, brother, it's about over for you physically, but don't let it be over for you. Don't die and go to hell. You call on Christ today in that bed you're lying in. You prisoners behind the walls who will hear me on CDs, you call on Him today. And let's make this a joyous day today, for the Lord's coming soon. Shall we pray? Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank You that we can stand at Your seashore and proclaim Your gospel. How good it is that You chose to reveal Yourself, Jehovah, the God who reveals Himself, made Yourself known, showed us Your plans, left us Your word, gave us the real roadmap to the real peace, the peace of knowing our sins are forgiven as we rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, I pray, to do Thy will this day. Be with that one here today, Lord, if it just be one who has put this decision off for maybe years. They knew what was right, they just didn't do it. And let them see how late the hour is. And let them get that settled today. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. And for His sake, amen.